A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto-renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor in southern New England, learning cricket thanks to my guide and coach, Jeremy Zakas. He's in New South Wales. We've talked about it for a year. It's here. Ashes has begun. There'll be five different cities. The first one, Perth in Western Australia. All England and all Australia. All the trash talking is behind us for the opening round. The debate over, is it going to be hitting or pitching? Are the conditions going to be conducive to pitchers who are fast or who spin? How about batters going for the fences? Well, the fence. Jeremy, the contest is over, and somebody had to win, even if both played badly. What happened?
Well, John, I can happily say that we have won and Australia has won decisively. In fact, we have won by what is called 8 wickets. So that meant that when Australia won just yesterday afternoon, we still had 8 people that could have gone up to bat to get more runs. But once you get one more run than your opposition, it's irrelevant. Basically, you've won the whole test. You can just go home. So, John, I'm gloating right now, but it is fantastic because given that, we really didn't know how this first one would go, I'm just absolutely happy now to say that Australia has definitely convincingly won it.
All right. England talked about showing up with muscle, going for the long ball. Did they?
They did, and it spectacularly backfired on day one. And honestly, John, the start of this Ashes was like nothing I've ever seen before. In fact, a lot of long-term cricket commentators are also saying the same thing. So what happened was England, when we had the coin toss to decide who would bat and bowl, England actually won and they decided to go into bat, which makes a lot of sense because they were expecting to come in with this really aggressive baseball style of batting and hit the balls over the fence and set us a target that we could never beat. And that, John, is exactly what they did. Except what it looked like they didn't count on was the fact that being Perth and being very hot and dry, their pitch was extremely quick. And because we've had so many injuries on the Australian team, we've actually got a set of very young players right now who are technically skilled, but also very, very strong. So immediately from the get-go, England was struggling. They were getting out. They could not hit the ball to save themselves. They couldn't get it over the fence. They could barely get it out into the field. And a lot of balls were getting past them and hitting the wickets. And so badly was it so that England got completely out for only 172 runs. And not only that, they only took 32 overs. And an over is basically 6 balls before you swap end. They only took 32 overs to get out, which is apparently the quickest any English team has ever got out in the history of the Ashes. So amazingly, spectacularly bad was the start for the English. It was incredible to see that. And then Australia came up and we thought, you know what? England's had a bad run, which means it's time for Australia to come in and pretty much lock this up. Well, I've got to say, Australia took up the bat and we were even worse. I've never seen anything like it. Australia came up to bat. They couldn't hit the ball either. England just powered the ball straight down the line. A lot of fast balls there. Australia couldn't time it properly. We couldn't hit the ball into the field. When we missed the ball, it was going onto the wickets. Australia on day one then only got 132 runs and all out. But luckily, we took 45 overs to do it, so we weren't quite as out as quickly, which makes it slightly less bad. But that meant we were already behind England, who had won 172 runs, and we had 132. That was the devastating part. So going into day two, there was a bit of rethinking, I think, in the Australian camp. England came out to bat again. Interestingly, they decided to try the same kind of strategy. You could see that their batters, all they wanted to do was hit the ball over the fence really aggressively. So we're talking about a very strong baseball style. Once again, lo and behold, they couldn't get the ball. They literally couldn't hit the ball at all, exactly the same as day one. And by the time England were all out, they were all out for 164 runs, which is only 8 runs difference to how many they actually got out on day one. So it showed the batting style didn't work. Australia, however, came in, took a much more conservative approach. They kind of sat back, they figured out the balls, they actually played a very, very clever game of cricket where you're not trying to hit the ball hard and get it over the fence. You're playing defensively and then looking for weaknesses where you hit the ball and then just try and get one or two runs, not six runs over the fence. And lo and behold, by the end of day two, Australia only had two players out, but they'd got 205 runs and they only needed 204. So that's how we got the 8 wickets. It was purely by going back to basics, playing very conservative cricket, and we beat the British, we beat the Poms. But John, it was a nail biter to the very end, and it shows that the Australian turf right now, the Australian pitches are affected by the heat, the weather, and it's really a couple of sides that have got a lot of very strong bowlers. So it's going to be a very fast-paced Ashes, I guess you could say, but I don't know which way it's going to go. I'm saying that we've won the first one, and we have, but you know, England might regroup. So by the time they get to Queensland in 2 weeks, it's possible they may have actually already figured out. So, John, I'm still going to take it, though. Australia's won. We're still ahead, and I'm going to enjoy it at least for the next 10 days or so.
I'm going to enjoy reading the English papers. I haven't looked at them yet today. The Telegraph and the London Times. I always look for the best excuse, and I can't imagine what it is. Maybe it's going to be that it was the weather. Is that a good excuse? It was too hot.
Well, John, actually, and spoiler alert, if you read the English papers, you'll be, I don't know if it's pleasantly surprised, but maybe surprised to see that that actually is critical of the English team as the Australians. In fact, you bring up excuses, the English commentators, and I believe it might have been the Times, are actually saying that there are no excuses for this. They're absolutely furious at the English team for behaving and playing so badly. And there's calls again for baseball to be completely eradicated from the vocabulary of any British player ever because the blame is being firmly placed on this strange strategy that never seems to work. And the English commentators are fed of it. The English fans are fed of it. But it is only the first test. So, John, have a good read there. You'll see that the English are just as tough right now on their own players, and maybe rightly so. But I was quite amazed. The Australian commentators are pretty much pale in comparison to the criticism that the English are putting on their own side.
All right, Australia's up 1-0. It's for 5 contests, and I'm sure nobody in Australia is relaxing. Nobody. It would be easier to be English right now and figure like we're a bunch of bums than Australia thinking, how can we blow this? What could happen to us? The next time we meet, it'll be Brisbane, Queensland, where it could be also very hot and could also have a lot of rain. Jeremy Zachas, New South Wales. We need to check in on those villains, the cockatoos. And, of course, the wonderful world of magpies in springtime, air bombing anybody who comes near their nest, except Dallas the Spoodle. This is the Friends of History Debating Society with Jeremy Zachas. I'm John Batchelor.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.